Tonight, I'm going to talk about one of my main passions in ministry, and it's always been a highlight of how I look at ministry, and it's discipleship and evangelism. And when I went to Liberty University to get my degree in theology and biblical studies, I took a lot of classes, and I even take some other classes now on discipleship, because I think discipleship is very important to the church and how we grow and how we flourish. It's through discipleship. And I've always said that one of the easiest ways that I can describe what discipleship is two words: follow me. Discipleship is a lifelong journey of following Jesus, being transformed by his love, and participating in his mission to reach the world. It's an invitation to experience the fullness of life in him. And so when Peter was cleaning his nets in Luke chapter 5, he had no idea that one simple step of obedience that he will do just by pushing back a boat into the water would change his life forever. Jesus calls Simon, James, and John to leave everything behind and follow him. And it's in that moment that they exchange their nets for a new purpose. A new purpose where Jesus will be leading them and they will be following. They're going to get rid of their boats for a new path and their old lives for a new identity in him. And so tonight, as we look at Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses, we're confronted with that same invitation. Where he leads, will you follow? And so I want you to think about that tonight. It's a call to trust beyond what we see, to step into the unknown of faith and embrace the adventures of walking with Jesus. Are you ready to follow him? Let's look at Luke 5, 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I will let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized that what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we gather tonight to study your word, we just ask you for your guidance and your wisdom tonight, Lord. I pray that you open our hearts to hear your call. And Lord, give us the courage to follow you wherever you lead us. May this time together deepen our faith and help us to walk closely with you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was thinking about naming this message, and I ended up naming it "Where He Leads, I Will Follow," which that's a song. I don't know if anybody's ever heard it. And I was looking at it on Apple, and I saw that Hank Williams did a version of it. My dad liked Hank Williams, so I heard him a lot when I was growing up, so I listened to that version. It was actually a pretty good one. But I could have named it anything like, you know, fishing with the carpenter again, you know, or anything like that. But because this is not the first time that Peter encountered Jesus. When we read through the Gospels, we see that the first time that he encountered him was in John chapter 1, when Andrew, Peter's brother, after spending time with Jesus, found Peter. He ran to him. He said, "We found the Messiah." And I haven't watched much of The Chosen. I have watched some of it, but I do remember watching that one where it was the encounter with Andrew and Andrew running to Peter and saying, "We found the Messiah." And so I can always imagine how that felt, how much excitement they had, because they've been waiting for thousands of years for the Messiah to come. And so the second time is in Mark chapter 1, and that's about a year after the first encounter with John. And this is kind of closer to where we're at in Luke. And it's kind of the same. If you read them both, some people think they are the same encounter, but they're not, because if you actually read the context of it, you'll see that it's different. But they're in the same area in the Sea of Galilee, and it involves fishing in a boat and Jesus calling them to follow him. And so in Mark 1, 16 and 18, we read that Jesus saw Simon and Andrew fishing, and that this is what they did for a living. They were fishermen. And Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. And that's in the Gospel of Mark. And so Peter, Andrew, James, and John answered the call of Jesus. They left their nets, they left their boats, they left their fishing business, and they followed Jesus where he was going to lead them. But then as we pick up in Luke chapter 5, we see that they went back to fishing, which is something that they did frequently. They left after Jesus had called them to follow him, but now this is the third time that Peter encounters Jesus. And so being a disciple will not always be easy, as we know. But when we trust in Jesus as our Savior and we live for him, he promises us that he will always be with us. And we see that throughout his word. We see that promise in both the Old and the New Testament. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Joshua 1:5 says, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." And then Hebrews 13:5 says, "Do not love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." And so we can rest on these promises that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us, because he also tells us in the word that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this promise is such a beautiful reminder of the depth of God's promises to us, offering peace and strength as we journey through life with him, letting him lead us as we follow him. We can't really count on all the material things that we have, because that's all temporary. But we can depend on God and his eternal promises that he's given to us. And so being a disciple of Jesus and following him and letting him lead us means that we are followers of him. We are a learner of him. We are an imitator of the Lord. And many times the call to follow the Lord often involves stepping out into the unknown and trusting in him that he will guide us. And every time I read this part of Scripture and other parts of Scripture of Jesus asking his disciples to step out into the unknown, step out into something that is not comfortable for them, because he's going to be with them, he's going to lead them, he's going to guide them, and he will be with them. I always think about my story about stepping out into the unknown of so many different things. And as of today, it's been 8 years that I have been at my current job. So 8 years that I retired. And I remember 8 years ago, praying with pastors so many times and other people about my ministry, about going out into the unknown, about if I'm good enough to finish school, do I have enough time, can I retire, Can I even preach? All that was unknown to me. And I love it. I love teaching and preaching God's Word. I love reading God's Word. I love studying God's Word. And so I love ministry. And so God called me, and He led me to where I am, and I followed Him. And so when we as followers of Christ step out into the unknown and allow the Lord to lead and guide us, we will see that following Jesus where He leads us begins with trusting in Jesus' leading, or to trust in Jesus leading us. It's not passivity. It's not a passively walking with the Lord. It's a daily and active command or commitment to trust and obey God's will for our lives. It's where we say, as Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." It's trusting God's wisdom and guidance, even in those times that we don't completely understand where God is leading us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." This encourages us to trust in God's leading and to follow Him with a heart of submission and faith, knowing that He will guide us on a path of righteousness and purpose. And so let's look at what it says in Luke 5, 4, and 7. It says, "When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, Peter, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Peter answered Jesus and said, Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And I put in bold in my notes when he said, "But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again," and we'll come back to that later. At this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Now, I know the disciples probably wouldn't like me saying this, but I love that it says their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear and their boats were on the verge of sinking. So here we have these professional fishermen out on the sea all night long fishing, and they caught nothing. And so now they have Jesus who says, "Hey, it's the middle of the day. Why don't you throw your nets out?" And they probably looked at him and said, "What do you think we've been doing all night? We're the professional fishermen here. You're the carpenter." Because that was unheard of. They usually, the fishermen there, they always would usually fish at night, and they were fishing closer to the shoreline, and they would cast it all out. But my friends, Jesus turns empty nets into overflowing blessings. He takes something as ordinary as fishing, and He turns it into something extraordinary. It's because their empty nets represent our efforts without Him, and the full nets represent the abundance that we can have in Him. And this is a beautiful reminder of Jesus' ability to transform our lives, turning our empty nets into overflowing blessings and calling us into a deeper relationship and purpose with Him. Because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And when we are in Christ, He is able to do immeasurably more in our lives. In Luke 5, 4 and 4 and 5, it says, "Now go out where it's deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish." And that's when Peter said, "Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." And as I said, fishermen at this time, they would fish all night long on the shore. And so this is why they were cleaning their nets right now. And these fishermen knew that they wouldn't catch anything during the day in the deep part of the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus told them to do this. And even though He may have not completely understood why, Peter did as Jesus told him to do, and he obeyed Jesus. And sometimes when God leads us and he asks us to follow him, we don't always understand, and many times it doesn't even make sense to us, or even it might seem impossible as to why he is asking us to do this. But this is when the Lord asks us to walk by faith and not by sight, and to trust in him completely with everything that we have, and trust that he is leading us and calling us to follow him. And walking by faith and following where he leads is a journey of trust and obedience. And obedience leads to an abundant life when it is rooted in our union with Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's about experiencing the fullness of life that comes from knowing and walking daily with Jesus. This also reminds me of John chapter 21, when Jesus restored Peter to ministry. If you remember, Peter, just after Jesus' death and resurrection, remember when Peter said, "I will go to the death for you. I will never leave you. I'm your guy. I'm your rock." And then he denied him three times. But Jesus, in his grace and mercy, didn't hold that over Peter's head. Jesus didn't make Peter beg for forgiveness or make him promise, "Peter, promise you will never do that again." But instead, Jesus offered Peter, in John chapter 21, a path to restoration, and he reaffirmed his love and purpose and calling for Peter. Jesus simply asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me?" Showing God's power to restore even this weak and broken man. And in John 21:17, Peter grieved and he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Then Jesus recommissioned Peter and he said in verse 19, "Follow me." And Peter trusted in Jesus, leading here. He trusted him in the beginning of his ministry with Jesus. And even though when he was following Jesus, we know that he had some ups and downs. He had many ups and downs, just like we in our faith walk have many ups and downs. But we know that Peter finished well. And we know this because we can see it in the book of Acts. When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he had courage and boldness in preaching a sermon on the day of Pentecost. And there was a remarkable change in Peter. And it was a complete contrast to when Peter denied Jesus. And it was through the power of the Holy Spirit working in this broken, sinful man who was restored by Jesus that the church went from about 120 people to over 3,000 people that day. Trusting Jesus' leading, especially when it defies our understanding, invites us into a deeper relationship with him, where faith and obedience open the door to his obedience or his abundant blessing and purpose in our lives. Amen? The second thing is, we have to respond to Jesus' call. When he leads us, we have to respond to his call. "I will follow. Here I am, Lord. Send me." Luke 5, 1 through 3 says, "One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, the owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there." I have to say, it's a very beautiful picture what it says in the beginning of this. "One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God." It's such a beautiful picture. This crowd is listening to the word of God. from God. He is the Word, John 1:1. They had a hunger for God's Word. And this should be our prayer for all of us, for our families, for our communities, for our co-workers, for our church, to have a hunger to hear the Word of God. And just as the crowd sought out Jesus to hear His teaching, we can make it a priority to seek out God's Word daily in our life. Let it be a source of guidance and truth for you. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." God's Word provides guidance and direction in our lives. Just as a lamp illuminates a path in the darkness, I remember working midnight so many times and having to find somebody or something, and it's completely dark, especially in an area that I went into where it was unknown, and I had that little flashlight that illuminated everything, and it made things all better. And so Scripture sheds light on our journey. It helps us navigate life's challenges and decisions. And Peter responded to Jesus after Jesus asked Peter to push his boat out into the water. Jesus knew that Peter and the others would be there. Jesus also knew that this was Peter's boat. And this is where Jesus was going to call Peter and the others again. Where he leads them, will they follow? Jesus wanted them to abandon it all and follow him. One of my favorite contemporary Christian artists, even from back when I was in high school, I know being the rock and roll guy I am, you're probably going to say, "Oh, I can't believe you listen to him." Stephen Curtis Chapman. I always liked him. Saw him a couple times live. But he had a great song that I would always listen to. It's called "For the Sake of the Call." I don't know if anybody ever heard that one. And in it, he says, "We will abandon it all for the sake of the call. No other reason at all but the sake of the call. Wholly devoted to live and to die for the sake of the call." Where he leads you, will you follow him? It's true. Jesus' disciples did not get standing ovations for following Jesus. They also knew that Jesus told them that following him would not be an easy road. And I think we can all relate to that. But what they did know is that Jesus was the one who was calling them. And they responded to Jesus' call, as we read in Matthew 4, "Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. They just left all of their stuff and they followed him. Responding to Jesus' call to follow him involves us living out a new life that he gives us. It's no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. And so Jesus calls Peter to push his boat out into the water so he could use the boat for teaching. And so Peter did that. The initial call was about his availability and his willingness to serve and hear the Savior's call and follow where he leads. Peter's response shows openness to Jesus' leading, even in an ordinary aspect of life of fishing. If you can imagine, Peter was probably tired from fishing all night and cleaning his nets. Peter could have refused, but he didn't. He obeyed. He let Jesus in the boat. He pushed it out a little bit from the shore, and that small yes became the first step on a life-changing journey. And like Peter, I pray that you are open to serving Jesus in whatever capacity that he calls you in, wherever he is leading you, whether it seems inconvenient or unexpected or something that you've never done before. Whether it's in your workplace or at home or in the community or at church, we must daily look for opportunities to serve and be available for his purposes. And when he's leading us, that we follow him with everything that we have. And the third thing is to embrace your new identity and purpose. Luke 5, 8 through 11 says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Do you see again? They left everything and followed Jesus. Jesus was leading them, and they were following him. Peter's encounter with Jesus led him to a realization of his own unworthiness. Yet Jesus called him to a new purpose, to become a fisher of men. Peter saw and understood that all the ability of being a fisherman that he had, all those times that he caught this great amount of fish, all the skill that he had of knowing where these fish were, this is before fish finders, and all the success that he had was not his own doing. It all came from the Lord. And we must realize that all we have is from the Lord, and that should humble us before the Lord. This transformation highlights the grace and mercy and the calling that Jesus extends to each and every one of us. It's time to embrace your new identity and your new purpose that Jesus gives you. Because, my friends, your past does not define you. His calling does. In Christ, we are given a new identity that's not tied to our past, mistakes, or failures. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And so embracing our new identity and purpose in Christ means that we step out into that unknown when the Lord is leading us and we follow. We will surrender our own plans, our own desires, our own ambitions, and we will point them in God's direction. And we will live according to His will in our lives. We will be led by the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit within us that produces the fruit that reflects the character of Christ. Trust that He is guiding you in every single decision, in every single relationship, and He is producing His fruit in you. We can trust in His leading and to follow where He leads us with confidence in His wisdom, power, and presence. One example from the Word of God of someone stepping out into the comfort zone, trusting in the Lord and allowing the Lord to lead and him following is Abraham. Genesis 12:1 says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you.'" God called Abram, later named Abraham, to leave everything that was familiar, his country, his people, and his family. This was a significant step out of his comfort zone, requiring him to trust in God's promises. And God promised him that he would make him into a great nation and that all families of the earth would be blessed through him. And this promise required Abram to trust in something he could not see yet and to follow where the Lord was leading him. In Hebrews 11, in the Hall of Faith chapter, it says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going." Abraham's journey is a testament to his faith. He stepped out without knowing the destination, but he trusted in God's promises and his guidance. Abraham's story encourages us to trust in God's leading, even when it requires us to step out into that unknown or that out of our comfort zone. His faith and obedience serve us as an example of how God can work through us when we follow his call. Finally, Jesus said to Peter, "Don't be afraid." How many times do we see that in the Word of God? Don't be afraid. "From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Peter knew he was unworthy to follow Jesus. He knew he was a sinful man. But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." That's the grace of God. I love those words, "don't be afraid." Jesus came to save sinners that they may follow where he is leading them. Then Jesus tells him, "From now on, you'll be fishing for people." That's Jesus leading them. And then he says, they left everything and followed Jesus. They followed him. When we're called and we follow where Jesus is leading us, he will equip us. Jesus made Peter the successful fisherman that he was, and now he's going to make him a fisher of men. So how can we, as followers of Christ, follow where the Lord is leading us? The first thing is to recognize his voice. John 10:27 says, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Recognizing Jesus' voice means being aligned to his guidance through scripture, through prayer, and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Spend time daily in God's word and prayer, seeking to understand his character, his desires for you, where he's going to lead you, what his will is for your life. And this is going to help us discern his voice, because we have a lot of voices that are talking at us, don't we, in this world? There's a lot of noise in our daily life. And so we have to read God's word and pray to hear his voice. The second is obey his leading. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." I want to go back to what I said earlier when I said in Luke 5:1, it says, "Listen to the word of God." And then down a little bit more in verse 5, it says, "But if you say so," this is what Peter says, "I'll let the nets down again." So the people listening to the word of God, Jesus speaking it there, they were the hearers of the word. Peter said, if it's what you want me to do, I will let these down again. I will let down the nets again. And so Peter was not only a hearer of the word, he was a doer of the word. And we can respond to God's call with action. Obedience is the key to following God's leading and experience the fullness of his plans for our lives. It invites us to live in alignment with his will as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit and motivated by his love. The third one is rely on his strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Depend on Christ's strength to follow his call. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness when we put our faith and we trust in him. And in our times of weakness, the Lord's presence is all we need. And in those times, we can rely on his strength when we're weak. We can rely on his great power and sufficiency that rests on us, and it gives us strength no matter the circumstances. And the last thing is, when he calls you, leave the shoreline behind. Be willing to leave behind what is comfortable and familiar when Jesus calls you. This might mean letting go of certain habits, certain relationships, or plans that you want to pursue, because his plans are better than our plans. His purposes for our lives are better than ours. And following Jesus requires walking by faith, trusting in him with the unseen and the unknown. And let his presence and promise guide you as you step out. And so tonight, if you are a believer in Christ and you kind of find yourself stuck like Peter has so many times and not following where the Lord is leading you, you right now can be restored and recommissioned. You can take comfort in knowing that Jesus offers complete forgiveness and restoration no matter your past failures. Embrace his forgiveness and let go of the guilt, knowing that his grace covers all. And commit to following Jesus wholeheartedly daily, trusting him to lead you. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, it's not too late. I want you to know that God loves you, and he created you to know him and love him and fellowship with him, and he created you for a purpose. He desires for you to experience a full and meaningful life in his love. Our sin separates us from God and prevents us from experiencing his love and purpose. But the good news is that God showed his great love by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. Jesus' death and resurrection bridges the gap between us and God, offering you forgiveness and a new life. You can have that new life in Christ right now and begin to follow where he is leading you, because salvation is a gift from God received through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about our efforts. It's not about our good works, but in trusting in what Jesus has done for us. And if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this involves turning from unbelief to faith in Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful for this word, Lord. And we just come before you with hearts open and just ready to follow wherever you lead us, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your plans that are good for us. And thank you, Lord, because your grace is sufficient for every step of our journey. Lord, we acknowledge our need for your guidance and strength, and we trust in your unfailing love to direct our paths. And so, Lord, help us just to leave behind the shorelines of our past and step out into faith to embrace the new life and purpose that you have for us. May we continually be doers of your word, living out your faith, empowering us by your Holy Spirit to walk in obedience to you, Lord God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I hope to see you all on Sunday at 10 a.m. And we'll see you later. Have a great night.